This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. It's the last podcast of the World Series because this Texas Rangers wrapped up the first championship in franchise history. And today will be better than yesterday. I'm Buster Olney in Phoenix. It's very late on Wednesday night. Taylor Schwenk is back in Connecticut. Taylor, the baseball season is over. What did you think of the Rangers winning the World Series?
Looking back, when you look at the whole season, you know, they were the most dominant team for a good stretch of time. You know, they were very impressive. I don't know that this sort of thing is sustainable, but looking back on it now, not super surprising that they won and won in five games.
Yeah, and I'd say this, you know, I thought as this series played out, I said early in the series, I thought that both teams had sort of gained immunity to momentum. Like if they fell behind, they had so much success, so much scar tissue that they were going to be fine. But then after the Diamondbacks did not play well in game four, they got blown out. Their pitching staff got blown out. Christian Walker with an unusual defensive mistake the day after he made a base running mistake. They just sort of, it felt like they kind of ran out of gas a little bit, Taylor, watching this series, especially because early in game five, you know, they threatened and threatened and threatened and they could not score.
Yeah. It was rough to see that. And again, like they didn't play a terrible series, but looking at the 4-1 margin of the games won is kind of misleading in all this. And it stunk that they couldn't get anything going. Cause I felt like they played all right tonight, you know, like again, it was just some bad defensive plays. Couldn't get any guys on bases. You know,
they couldn't come through. Yeah. I mean, they were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position through like five innings. They just constantly threatened against Nathan Eovaldi and constantly the Rangers were making plays like Evan Carter in the bottom of the second inning.
Swing and a ball ripped left field, charging in, sliding, making the catch is Carter in left field. He stole a hit from Longoria. The throwback into second, too late to get Gurriel.
Yeah, and Corey Seager made a couple nice plays at shortstop, and it really did feel like Foreman versus Ali, where the Rangers were Ali. They're playing rope-a-dope. They're just kind of hanging in there through rally after rally by the Diamondbacks that was not cashed in. Meanwhile, Zach Gallen was shutting down the Texas Rangers. Here was Zach Gallen in the third inning.
And the pitch. Swing and a ground ball up the middle, but right there, Perdomo behind the bag at second, gobbles it up, throws to first, and Zach Gallen has gotten the first nine that he has faced. Nice and easy. Nine up, nine down.
27 pitches, Boog. He's been able to do all of that.
He was rolling. Here he was in the fourth inning.
3-2 down. Here comes. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Zach Gallen has been razor sharp, perfect through four.
What Boog Sciambi, who, of course, is the play-by-play man on the World Series and ESPN Radio, told me was that he didn't really talk about a no-hitter until you get through five. Well, he got through five with a no-hitter intact.
And the pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. And Gallen able to get Heim. And that's the inning. No runs, no hits, a walk, one man left. Five hitless, scoreless innings for Zach Gallen. We're midway here in the fifth.
Zach Gallen continued in the sixth.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. And Gallen with six shutout, no hit innings here in World Series Game 5.
The problem, of course, was that the Diamondbacks just couldn't score. Finally, in the top of the seventh inning, Corey Seager, yeah, that guy, came to the plate for the Rangers.
Here it comes. Swing and a ground ball, softly hit, fair ball down the third baseline, and Gurriel over to pick it up in shallow left field. Seager hit it off the end of the bat. He cued it, and because they played him to pull on the infield, it was between Longoria and the line, and a soft rolling single for the first hit of the game for Texas.
Now that rally would continue. Another runner reached base. Then Mitch Garver came to the plate.
The 0-1. Swing and a ground ball, base hit into center field. Seager in to score. Carter is going to be stopped at third as the throw is cut off by Christian Walker. It's an RBI single for Mitch Garver, and the Rangers here in the seventh have taken a 1-0 lead.
The way that Rangers manager Bruce Bochy decided to try to protect that lead was to replace Nathan Eovaldi, who pitched a good, gritty game. He wasn't dominant, but he worked through all those rallies early, was to go to Aroldis Chapman and then to Josh Spores. This is Spores dominant in the eighth inning.
2-2, the pitch. Outside corner, got him looking. Smith is gone. Spores does the job. Josh Spores strikes out Pavin Smith. And the Rangers now 3 outs away from a World Series title.
But before they would get those 3 outs, they would tack on runs with help from Jonah Heim.
And the pitch. Swing and a ground ball. Base hit out of the right center field. Here comes Young around third. Beasley's going to send him. It goes under the glove of Thomas. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Racing around to score is low. Stopping at third is Heim. Oh, disaster for the Diamondbacks. And now it is 3-0 Texas.
And a few batters later, Marcus Semien came to the plate.
The pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Well struck. Left field. That one back on its way and it's gone. Home run, Marcus Semien. And that might be the putaway shot. Semien, a 2-run blast, and it is 5-0 Texas.
Yeah, that did feel like the coup de grace, no question about it, for the Texas Rangers. Here's what it sounded like in the bottom of the ninth.
Here comes. In there! And that does it! History in the desert! The Texas Rangers, for the first time ever, are World Series champs! And the celebration begins third base side of the mound, the dog pile, as they jump up and down out of the dugout, out from the bullpen in right field. The Rangers celebrate. The Texas Rangers are World Series champs.
So I was down on the field right after that. They were handing out T-shirts and caps, and I caught up with Bruce Bochy, the Rangers manager.
Coach, the Texas Rangers' first championship, your fourth championship. How you feel?
It's unreal. I could be happier for these guys. I'm a byproduct of what these guys did, man. It's as tough a group as I've ever had, how resilient, what we had to deal with. Even in the World Series, I couldn't be happier for these guys to write history.
11-0 on the road in the postseason. How do you describe what you guys did?
I wish I could explain it, man. These were road warriors. I tell you, you had our backs against the wall, you think, but they just came out every day, man. I'm just so honored to be part of this group here.
Last one, how about Corey Seager?
I don't know what else to say about him, man. I don't know how to describe him. He's unreal, unbelievable. He's just as good a baseball player as I've ever seen.
And I spoke with Corey Seager, who would be named the World Series MVP shortly after this interview.
Corey, how you feeling?
Awesome, man. You know, this is... what a group, you know, to be able to come out here and accomplish that and battle, have all these wins on the road, you know, to never be able to do it, you know, this is just a hell of a group and I can't be more proud to be here.
When did you feel like this was possible?
You know, we always felt confident in ourselves, you know, coming in the playoffs. We turned the page from not winning division and we battled, man. We battled all year, we battled all postseason and we're finally reaping the rewards of it.
How tense was this game tonight? They had runners on base all over the place early on.
Yeah, you know, hell of a job by Evo, you know, just completely shutting him down, getting out of huge spots. And credit to Gallen, you know, he was tough. We couldn't do anything against him. And we scratched and clawed and finally came out with the win.
After the game, you gave Bruce Bochy a hug. What'd you say to him?
Just that I loved him and thanked him for it. You know, for what he's done for this group and what he's done for this team, it's unbelievable.
Corey, thanks.
Thank you.
And I spoke with an emotional Marcus Semien.
Marcus, that final out is registered. What are you feeling in your heart?
I mean, I'm letting out tears on a baseball field. You know, I haven't done that since I was a little kid. This is why we play the game. This is why I play the game. You know, just a crazy way to win, too, being no hit through 6 or whatever it was, 5. And then the bats woke up. You know, the bats woke up, and we were exactly who we were the entire year from the 7th inning on.
When did you really start to think this was a possibility?
When we got up 1-0. You know, our pitching's been so good. The insurance is always good. It relaxes you a little bit because when you're out there and it's 1-0, the crowd's going crazy. You know, they get a base runner on, you just, you know, anything can happen. But we put up 4 runs in the 8th inning to put insurance in the World Series game that we clinched. That feels good.
How would you describe what Bruce Bochy's meant to this team this year?
Everything. You know, we had a tough year last year. You know, nobody wanted to be there. Coach came in, said right from the jump, this is our goal. We didn't believe it. We continue to play better and better and better and better until we let's go get this now. But from the beginning of the year to now, just such growth from this group. Coaching staff works so hard too, because Bochy demands that out of them, and that's great.
And Alex Thomas, who made that error late in the game, spoke with reporters in a quiet clubhouse.
It sucks. Yeah, I definitely could have done a better job of getting in front of the ball and, you know, calming down and just fielding it. But I think I rushed it and, yeah, just didn't get the glove down. And, yeah, so unfortunate. And, you know, but I think I made an error on that two times last year and this year. And I think by now I should have learned my lesson on how to go about that ball. But I'm definitely going to, you know, work on that in the offseason, make sure that doesn't happen again. You know, it was a big stage, and, you know, I folded right there, so I definitely could have done a better job.
Well, I hope he doesn't beat himself up too much, because they didn't score any runs, and it really didn't make a difference. They didn't play well down the stretch, but, hey, Alec Thomas, the Diamondbacks, what a tremendous year. Torey Lovello, the Arizona manager, talked about their defensive struggles in the last two games.
We weren't playing freely defensively, and you see what happens when you make mistakes like that, and you do it against good teams on this level. In the final series of the year, it compounds itself, and it led to some crooked numbers. You know, I'm not saying they would or wouldn't have scored runs, but Alec was just trying to knock down 90 feet and save that guy going for first and third, and it led to a big inning. So we try to play fast. It means sometimes defensively, it means sometimes we make some mistakes, but we've been very good all year long at securing the baseball. The last 2 days we did not, and it showed up and made a difference.
Torey Lovello spoke with, very circumspect after the game, spoke with his players, recognized the fact that this hurts. He talked about how much it's hurting him, but he also, by the end, was at least had a smile on his face. He talked about ice cream.
I want to run away and hide for a few days. I want to go camping and just sit in the tent and suck my thumb, you know, and eat ice cream. Is that the weirdest answer you guys have ever had right now?
Torey Lovello did such a great job for the Diamondbacks this year, Taylor.
Yeah, man. I mean, Torey Lovello, clearly a star, managing a team full of stars. You know, it's unfortunate that this is where it ended, but I mean, things look promising for the snakes out there in the desert. So if you're a Snakes fan, Diamondbacks fan, like don't get too down yourselves tonight.
No, it was a year of great progress for them. What else you got?
Buster, a couple things. First of all, we're going to do our next episode on Monday. We're going to do a little look ahead to the offseason. We'll do a little retrospective of this past season. And that whole show is going to be presented by our friends at Grainger. We love the folks over there at Grainger. So love a good takeover episode. Also, the College Game Day podcast put together an episode today. That was a good one. A lot of talk of Dabo Swinney going at it with that.
Going off.
Yeah.
He went off.
Going off on that collar, which was, I think, rightfully, you know, deserved the way he handled the collar. But Dabo, a little bit sensitive there. So the guys have fun with that.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an interesting cat. So, and the guys have good perspective on him. So they were able to, you know, respect him on the one hand, but be like, Dabo, come on, man. Come on. It's just
right. Exactly. You're Dabo Swinney.
Right. You're Dabo freaking Swinney, man. It's okay. Bruce Bochy wouldn't be bothered by that.
Right. Anyway. Oh, I know. He would have a big laugh, actually. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. All right. This is the final of the clown car editions that we have on the Baseball Tonight podcast during the World Series. I'm Buster Olney, and we are with Jessica Mendoza. We're with Eduardo Perez. But no Boog Shambi, Eduardo. What? What's up with that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I am in shock right now with what is going on. I can't believe it. But you know what? He was still a star for those five games of this World Series.
I am mad. It's not okay. We got laughter, we've been in this together, and now it's just us, guys.
All right, Jess, you get the first shot at Game 5, the Texas Rangers winning their first championship.
They were getting no hit through six innings, and then it just felt so perfect that it was Corey Seager, not with the big blast, not with the extra base hit, but a 67-mile-an-hour single to break it up and ultimately come around and score in that inning to really break open the runs. You felt, and we talked about it, Eddie, throughout the entire game, whoever was going to score first in this game was going to win it. That inning was everything, especially starting off with Corey Seager.
It just seems like whoever always scored first in this one won, right? So it just makes it perfect, and it made it perfect that it was Corey Seager. But Nathan Eovaldi today, what he did, being able to get out of jam after jam after jam, was really impressive. We thought he was going to break, but he never did. All he did was bend. And give credit to the pitches that he made, give credit to the defense, give credit
Corey
to the
Seager.
Strikeouts.
Just plays on defense that he made. Not making errors. Balls hit at him hard. He was so comfortable playing shortstop in big spots.
They played clean defense the entire World Series. It was impressive how they were able to just make that routine play, and the trust that the pitching had on defense, it showed, Jess.
Yeah, well, and I really think about the unsung heroes, because yes, we will mention Seager's name, we'll mention all of the big hitters, but how about, you think about in this one, Josh Spores, then John Gray, Andrew Heaney. Like, those three names of relief, starting, however you want to look at it. The biggest weakness for the Texas Rangers, everybody knew it, was the bullpen. And Josh Spores throwing 2 1/3 innings, being able to shut down a Diamondbacks team that we saw even as recently as last night be able to score runs late. So those kind of pitching performances were everything, because that was a huge weakness for Texas coming in.
But was it a weakness? Because at the same time, I think Bruce Bochy was trying to find out who could and who couldn't do the job. I mean, at one point, Jose Leclerc wasn't even part of their big pressure situations early in the season. And he kept putting guys out there. He kept giving them opportunities. And he was fizzling out the guys that couldn't. And he was adding the guys that could. And at the end of the day, you are right. It was Spores. It was Leclerc. It was Chapman coming in. Brought him in the seventh inning tonight to face three hitters. And then after that, he was like, okay, we're going to Spores right here to see if we can get four outs. Then they added jugular runs. That's what Joe Maddon calls them, the jug runs. Adding runs, going for the kill. They did. And they didn't have to throw Leclerc at all. And it was Spores that ends up being on the highlight reels forever in Texas.
You know, a couple days ago when we talked about this, I mentioned it felt like that both of these teams were immune to, momentum. That they were playing so well, they had fought through so much adversity in all the rounds coming up to the World Series, that even when the Diamondbacks got down or the Rangers got down early in the series, you thought, you know what, they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. That's not going to bother them. I began to feel in the middle of Game 4 like, no, it actually is starting to wear on the Diamondbacks, because they just didn't play well, right? In this series, they just didn't play well.
They didn't, and at the end of that last inning, it sort of just showed, right? It was the error, the hit, and then the error that just emptied out the bases, Jonah Heim getting it. It was tough to watch if you're an Arizona Diamondback fan, but you also, as an Arizona Diamondback fan, have to love the future, because it's bright with Corbin Carroll on that team, Alec Thomas. You can keep on and on just adding. Jordan Lawler is going to be a beast in this team. Gabby Moreno. We can continue to give names, but one thing that they do have is a foundation here in Arizona.
Yeah, and that's what Torrey Lovello was talking about after the game when he met with reporters. He said, yes, this hurts, but he talked to his players and he essentially said, feel this, but know what you accomplished was remarkable and we're going to build going forward.
And can I just add, too, that, I mean, Zach Gallen hasn't looked good for a while, He looked insane tonight. And and not just the fastball, the location. He was throwing right on run changeups, Buster, that were nasty, bearing in on the hands of the right-handed batters. I mean, there was a reason why the Rangers and their offense couldn't get a hit. And to just know that Gallen had that ability the entire season on the line, no one will be talking about that because ultimately they lose. But after his production, or lack thereof, through a lot of these postseason games, he threw an absolute gem in this one.
So, Eduardo, we had the Rangers in the first Sunday night game this year. And I remember being around those guys. I'm not even going to pretend that I thought that anything like this was possible. But I remember, you know, talking with Marcus Semien and Robbie Grossman and Corey Seager and Bruce Bochy and thinking, man, this is a serious group of baseball players. Like, they really, Jacob DeGrom, you know, these guys, Nathan Eovaldi, they're just guys who are just locked in all the time. And so it was really cool after they win the World Series is sort of see that facade come down. You know, the joy in Bruce Bochy's face, Marcus Semien talking about being in tears, you know, in the bottom of the ninth inning, knowing that they were that close. You know, Corey Seager was so happy, you know, what a job he did. And I did want to tell you this one story. The only moment when I saw anyone cross on the field after the game was as I was waiting to talk to Bruce Bochy. They're handing out the championship hats. And you know the issue with Bruce Bochy and hats, right? He's got a big head. Well, the hat they handed to him looked like it was a beanie. And he was putting it on, and he yells at the guy handing out the hats, "This one doesn't fit, Eduardo."
That's odd. I think, but you know what? He has experience at that. This is the fourth time he's had to do that as a manager, and congratulations go to him. You know, Buster, the thing that stood out to me when you interviewed Marcus Semien after the game, and he was emotional about it, was when Bruce Bochy said, "Guys, he made us believe." They didn't believe. They didn't even believe at the moment that he said it. But as the season went on, they started seeing that it was real. And this all starts with Chris Young. The vision that Chris Young had with the support of ownership played in a major way. And I'm telling you something right now. Chris Young, yes, he went to Princeton, but he also played. And he saw what a good clubhouse is, and he saw what great leadership looks like. And I think a lot of teams, and this is a copycat league, and you know this, a lot of teams are going to start trying to find that next Chris Young to try to identify what a great clubhouse looks like to build a championship and competitive team.
And maybe that's what the Red Sox are going for, getting Craig Breslow, like a guy who's been in a clubhouse before, right? Someone who's done that. Jess, feelings on the Texas Rangers?
I mean, I just love the fact that, you know, you go back to just them losing the last game of the season, kind of back in their way, being so mad. Bruce Bochy pretty much having tears as they flew over to Dallas. I had their wild card series in Tampa Bay. They were frustrated. They were mad. But they also had this whole idea of, we are so much better than what this is showing as we come into the postseason. And I loved how they kind of discovered who they were. Because as much as they were streaky and they had these points in the season, where they were one of the best teams in the entire American League, they couldn't really put it all together. And that's why October is so exciting. And to see Bruce Bochy understand, okay, this guy doesn't have it, and I am going to quickly just switch gears and go to somebody else. That doesn't happen. Usually you get that pause, you get the overthinking, you get the analytics, which is fine. Bochy looks at the scoreboard the entire game. He doesn't have a piece of paper in front of him. There's no cheat sheet. There's none of those colored squares that tell you exactly when, how to do what. And that warms my heart that part of the game still exists.
Yeah, and I relate a story that Torrey Lovella told us before the game about how, you know, he's got all this information in front of him, and he finds himself sort of ping-ponging, looking at the field, looking down his nose, looking at the field, looking down his nose, and then he'd look over at Bruce Bochy, and Bochy's sitting over there with his arms folded, completely calm, not ramped up at all. I actually thought the end of the game was sort of a classic Bochy decision. We all assumed that once you get to the ninth that Jose Leclerc is going to finish the game, but Bruce Bochy just watched Spores and was like, you know what? He's doing pretty well. I'm going to leave him in there.
Going to leave him in there. And it's, you know, credit to the offense that gave him that cushion. But he had Leclerc warming up. If he would have walked one guy, or he would have, another player would have gotten on base, it would have been Leclerc, who he didn't want to bring in, who had never pitched three consecutive days in a row, trying to protect that arm as well. Look, it's every kid's dream to be able to throw the last out of the World Series. and make that out, and Josh Spores seized the moment.
Yeah, pretty incredible. All right, guys, thank you for this final Clown Car edition. It was a lot of fun working with you during the World Series.
We love you, Buster. It's been a heck of a year.
Unbelievable year. Miss you. I'll miss you guys.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
0-0-9-6.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, reporter, producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how you doing this late Wednesday night? The World Series is over. You're still in the press box in Arizona.
I am, and you know I'm doing great. I got to see one of my all-time favorite baseball people, Bruce Bochy, win the World Series in person. I can't believe it, so I'm doing great.
What... Tell me what stuck out with you covering this World Series.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, everything. But certainly seeing the way that both these managers interact with their players, and that goes for Troy Lovallo as well. I think this was a really, really good World Series for the impact of a manager and for seeing what kind of impact they can have on the guys in their clubhouse. So it was really fun to see all that happen. And no, we love to see a team win its first title, so very, very exciting to see.
All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three.
Number three is four, so we have to start with Bosch, who won his fourth title as manager. He is one of only six managers to win at least four World Series titles. He joins Casey Stengel, Joe McCarthy, Connie Mack, Walter Olson, Joe Torre, and I think there's an argument to be made that this may be his most impressive of the four because of that bullpen, because of the fact that this team blew more saves than they converted in the regular season, and here they are figuring out the bullpen in the postseason. You and I have talked about this. This is what he's good at, and to do it again with another team and a whole new cast of characters. It is so, so impressive.
Number two.
Number two is six. So Nathan Volpe and Zach Allen tonight became two of 10 pitchers in postseason history to make at least six starts. And to make six starts, I say at least, but no one's made more than that in a single postseason. Nathan Volpe is the first guy to have his team win all six. And yes, he's the first guy to start five wins. We don't talk about pitcher wins. I don't talk about pitcher wins. You know that. But his team won every game he started this postseason. He's the first guy to do that with six starts.
Number one.
Number one is zero, because as great as Nathan Eovaldi was tonight, Zach Gallen was rolling through those first six innings. So he did not allow a hit, did not allow a run through those first six. The Rangers became the second team in postseason history to win a game where they did not have a hit or a run through six innings in that game. The other team to do it was the Cubs in NLDS Game 3 against the Nationals in 2017. Kind of a different situation being here on the road looking to clinch a World Series. Really, really impressive. And somehow, the moment they got that first hit off Gallen, even though he'd been rolling, knowing this offense, you kind of knew it might happen. And even so, entering the ninth, it was 1-0. We're pacing with the 7th World Series clincher ever in a 1-0 game. And then, of course, they piled on a bit in the ninth, ruining that noble winning of the World Series.
So, you know, Sarah, I love telling you stories that make you laugh. And so this one, you were busy in the press box right after the game. So I know you weren't listening to any of our conversation we had on ESPN radio after the game. I'll tell you this story now. I'm down on the field and I'm waiting to do the interviews and I'm stalking Boach. Like, he and Corey Seager are my two that I want to get. And as I'm waiting for Boach, there's a guy who begins to hand out hats. And you know what Boach is famous for, right? He's got massive head, right? He's always been known for that. And so he grabs the hat and he puts it on his head and it looks like a beanie. And he's like, hey, this isn't big enough. And I think it was the only moment when I thought saw Boach was tense the entire World Series.
Oh my goodness, that's perfect. Now, the MLB social team did a really fun video sometime early in this World Series when they asked a bunch of players on the Rangers if they could guess his hat size. And the only guy to get it was the Bay Area kid, Marcus Semien, of course. But it was so fun seeing them try to guess or kind of going like, should I answer this? Do I not? That's my manager. But it was really funny. And of course, I mean, he's a World Series, four-time World Series manager. I hope they can find him a hat in his size now.
Yeah, exactly. How much is he in the conversation now in your eyes for the greatest manager ever? When you're talking about someone, as you say, one of six managers to win at least four titles, he is 6-0 in winner-take-all games, which is unbelievable. And then the number that you generated yesterday in potential clinching games, his teams are 17-4. 17-4 in potential clinching games. He puts the hammer down and they wrap it up. What do you think about that conversation? Who for you, in your mind, do you consider to be the greatest manager ever?
I mean, I think there's no question now if I get out of qualifier that he is the best postseason manager of all time. It's almost not fair to put guys like Stengel and McCurk and Mack and Olsen into the conversation because they didn't have to manage winner take all. One game, with Madison Bumgarner on the mound, they didn't have to go through multiple rounds like they did this season. And even Joe Torre was not the same back in the late 90s and early 2000s compared to where it is now. And as you said, 6-0 winner take all. That means game 7, game 5, and those one game playoffs that we don't have anymore. But to me, to be able to succeed in all of that, and even the way bullpens are used now, the way teams are managed now, there's so many more moving parts than there were back then. I'm not disrespecting history, but to me, he is no question the greatest postseason manager of all time for juggling everything that comes with managing in the postseason these days.
All right, Sarah. Well, thank you for bearing with us throughout the World Series. And I'm hoping that you can, the next episode we have is going to be on Monday. We're going to have an off-season look ahead. Can you join us for that?
Absolutely. That will be hopefully the first time I wake up after a couple of days of sleeping, but absolutely for you.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Thursday. Last set of Bleacher Tweets for the 2023 season. Blade Bigler writes in, the ebbs and flows of Game 5 have been epic. Go Rangers. David Fitzgerald writes in the spirit of Buster picking the Padres to win it all, I say the Game 5 winner wins the World Series written in the fifth inning.
Well, that's really going out on a limb, David. Okay, at least I picked the Padres 1 out of 30 teams. Yeah, my pick was a total disaster. But come on, you're picking one out of two. Let's go.
Glad the Rangers fans were having some fun, you know, in the middle of that game.
Oh, 100%.
Andrew Campbell writes, and Buster, if 10 years from now, we're looking back, looking at the back of the baseball card, and Corey Seager's career stats are on the bubble of Hall of Fame status, is it fair to look at his legendary postseason runs in 2020 and 2023 to get him over the hump and into the Hall?
Oh, no question. I don't think he has much longer to go, actually. I mean, when you have this type of success in the postseason, I don't have his numbers up in front of me. I'm guessing off the top of my head, he's got something like, you know, 12 to 1500 hits. Plays a few more years. Yeah, absolutely.
Brother JD, John Moore, the fourth, writes in, looking forward to the podcast. Also, with who they have coming back and DeGrom returning for the last quarter of the season next year, could you see them going this far again?
First off, I would never say no about this team. You know, they demonstrated that this year. I do think, you know, that the injury questions are going to hang over them. You know, Max Scherzer is going to be back. He's still under contract with the team. I don't know what you, at this point, because of these nagging injuries he's had, what you can expect. DeGrom, in theory, would be back for the end of the season. But we saw DeGrom when, you know, he's with the Mets. He constantly had setbacks. So I don't know if you can necessarily count on him. They do have Nathan Eovaldi. They do have John Gray. And I do think they're going to wind up, re-signing Jordan Montgomery.
That is one thing about the Rangers. You can be sure that they're going to.
Saw Ray Davis, by the way, after the game, the Rangers owner. We talked a little bit about him. You know, we gave him a lot of credit, rightly so, to the fact that Peter Seidler, the Padres owner, basically said, cost be damned. You know, I think the Phillies owner has done that, which is really cool. And Ray Davis basically went to Chris Young a couple winters ago and said, he's 81 years old. He's like, let's go. He wants to win a championship. And I saw him go up to Marcus Semien, give him a big hug and thank him for helping them do this, which is really cool.
Ray Davis not going to have to take out a $50 million loan to cover payroll.
Speaking of the Padres. All right.
Next question. Garrett Shields writes in, Buster, as a D-backs fan, what should I realistically expect for next year and the next few years?
I think they'll challenge in the National League West. I still think over the course of 162 games, a team like the Dodgers, with all their money, all their stars, they have to be considered the favorites. And I've said on the podcast before, and it's just a guess, I think they're going to be the team that lands Shohei Ohtani.
All right. Last one for the season. Noah, just sending a thank you. Thanks, you, Sarah, myself, Langer, Ravi, Boog. I mean, we could go on forever. Jess, Eduardo, Todd, Hembo. Yeah. Can't forget about Hembo. We would get in trouble.
No. If we forget about Hembo, it's going to wind up on Greeny's show.
Yeah.
Or on Get Up, right?
Yep.
No. Yeah. That was amazing.
All right. Well, thank you, Noah, and thank you to the listeners for writing in all season. We'll be back on Monday to look ahead to the off season. So send your Bleacher tweets in over the weekend.
Nice. Yeah. We're already lining up guests for that. And, you know, looking forward to a conversation about what should be a really busy off season, headlined by two words, Shohei Ohtani. That's it for today. That's it for this week in the World Series. They say we're going to have some more information, more stuff in the podcast on Monday. Today, my thanks to Boog, Jess, Eduardo, Sarah, Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Woo!
All right, dude. Thanks for staying up late.
Yeah, man.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.